Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
To convince a child to keep walking, try switching roles with them. Let the child play the role of the parent. They'll immediately do what you want them to do.
You are raising in your home people that the Bible is very clear about their status. They need to be converted, not just a conformity of their behavior. They need a transforming encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate priority.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
No, I'm not. This is Wretched Radio. If in your thinking, Friel, you're not going to talk about Romans 13, 1 through 7 and the Christian posture towards submitting to the government, are you? No, I'm not. But Dr. R.C. Sproul is.
The operative principle in the New Testament for the Christian is obeying the civil magistrate. Not because we are trying to exalt the human authorities, but we recognize that behind those authorities stands the authority of Christ and the authority of God.
Dr. R.C. Sproul, decades ago, unpacking Romans 13, giving us the general principles to guide us through figuring out how does the Christian respond to a government that is increasingly seeking to inject itself into church life and into family life. Suddenly, our realms of authority are getting challenged, and we need to sort this out thoughtfully and carefully. And so we are going to let Dr. R.C. Sproul help us while remembering this. We want to be very fair and thoughtful about what we're going to hear, because this was recorded. I'm looking at his suit. I'm guessing could have been the 80s, maybe the 90s. So issues like masks and vaccines, they were nowhere on the horizon. And throughout this 30-minute presentation, Dr. Sproul never mentions an instance or a situation that we should take his teaching and apply it to. Not once. Let's make sure that as we listen to Dr. Sproul, we don't conclude, oh, he's telling us we need to take the jab. We can't do that. Why? Well, first of all, there wasn't one at that time. Second of all, he's just teaching on the subject. And we don't want to think of an issue while a preacher is talking and go, oh, he's addressing that. Now, he might be, he might not be. But don't impute your thinking on the subject while you're hearing his teaching to the brain of the speaker. Let's just hear the big teaching, and then we'll try to go about the business of applying this, because I would hate for somebody, I can't imagine anybody would ever, you know, do this, but I would hate for somebody to go, no, Dr. R.C. Sproul said we're supposed to take the jab. Well, I know what that accusation feels like, but we don't want to do that to Dr. Sproul, because he's not saying that. He's just teaching on the subject of Romans 13, starting with where we always have to start, the context of our verses.
He's writing to the Romans. He's talking to people who are living under a secular government, a corrupt government, and indeed a government that is opposed to the very principles of Christianity. And in a very short period of time after Paul wrote this letter, a government that set forth probably the most vicious program of persecution against the Christian church that has ever been unleashed in the history of the world. A government, incidentally, that executed the man who wrote these words. The Apostle Paul. He's saying, be subject to that government. And again, why? Not out of a view of political expediency, but out of a viewpoint of bringing honor and glory to God who stands behind that government.
That should encourage all of us to have a much more joyful response to our government. They have, don't know if you've noticed, lots of laws. They can become quite onerous. And you and I might just buckle underneath Romans 13 and go, fine, I'm going to do what I'm told. Please remember, our operative formula here is our general posture toward the government is submission unless they command us to sin or forbid us to do that which is commanded. And when we go about that business, there's a lot of stuff we need to obey. Not talking about the jab here. Please don't do that. I'm talking about just all the rules that we have to follow around here. And we can become rather, like we're just worn out and weighed down from all of these limitations on our liberties. I think that that should be an encouragement to us to have perhaps a loftier motivation that government is put in place by God. And when you obey government, you're obeying the Lord. Why? Because he's putting all governments in place. They rise or fall based on his predetermined will. And they do his bidding. And sometimes that bidding is pretty hard for us. But when we submit, remember our aforementioned exceptions, when we submit to the government, no, I'm not talking about the jab. When we submit to the government, we're honoring God. Oh, okay, so guess what? My honoring of God by obeying the law is an act of worship.
Now, how in the world could God be related to a godless government? How can God ordain an ungodly political institution? That's what has been so troublesome to people who wrestle with the responsibility that the church has with respect to matters of civil obedience. Because this passage, incidentally, is not an isolated one in the New Testament. Again and again, we are told to honor the king, to subject ourselves to the magistrates. And St. Peter tells us that we are to submit ourselves to the civil magistrates that Christ might be honored. That Christ might be on it. Well, there are two things that we need to understand here, and that is, in the first place, the concept biblically of all earthly government is, in a sense, hierarchical. That all human authority, from the dog catcher up to the governor and to the senator and to the prince or to the king or to the president, whatever, all comes under the authority of God and of his Christ.
That should cause us to have a much more joyful motivation in doing what we are told. God has a government in place because that is his desire. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in place. And when they command us to do something, as long as it's not commanding us to sin or keeping us from obeying a command, and I'm not talking about the jab, when we go about the business of obeying, when we drive the speed limit, when we buckle up, when we put fire exit signs above our egress, when we paint the lines in the parking lot at the width that the government says, we're actually worshiping God. That should give us a little, okay, so it's not just submitting.
Now, does that mean that every one of these human authorities exercises godly rule?
Nope.
Of course not. We know that. And it is very possible for there to be, as Paul speaks of elsewhere, spiritual wickedness in high places, in governments. Oscar Kuhlmann, the Swiss theologian, even suggested that there's a sense in which governments in this world can become utterly demonic and stand in fierce opposition to the reign of Jesus Christ. Yet, the operative principle in the New Testament for the Christian is obeying the civil magistrate.
Dr. R.C. Sproul actually even goes a little bit further than that regarding submission to government. Please remember our aforementioned exceptions, and we're not talking about the jab.
So there's a sense biblically in which the Christian is called to bend over backwards to respect authority wherever he sees it, and to be bearing witness to a spirit of obedience rather than lawlessness. This came out very early
in the early church, and we are going to hear about that. But what we don't want to do is listen to a 16-second clip and say, that means he wants us to take the jab. Don't do that to Dr. Sproul. He's just teaching on the verse. We need to apply all of this, not just one verse, but all of the verses that speak to us on our subject back to the early church.
In the Christian church, with the outbreak of persecutions, we think, for example, of the work of the first great apologist of the early church, Justin Martyr.
Now, you talk about providence. Justin Martyr was actually martyred. Now, the fact that his last name matches what happened to him, pretty amazing. Justin Martyr was being persecuted. He was being accused. So was the Christian church. So he wrote a letter to the emperor, and he told them what? We're model citizens. Don't shellac us. We seek to obey you.
So there's a sense biblically in which the Christian is called to bend over backwards to respect authority wherever he sees it.
That is what Justin Martyr tried to plead with the emperor. Sadly, it ultimately didn't do him any good. And yet, Justin Martyr submitted where it was lawful, where it was not a command to sin or a command to not do what we are told to do, because he was trying to bend over backwards. This is Wretched Radio. If and you don't mind me saying so, I resonate with this sentiment from Dan Steiner of Preborn Ministries.
To be able to look across America and see this Holocaust of abortion and know that people like you are doing something about it. It's one thing to say that we're against abortion, but it's really another to take action.
Do you resonate with that sentiment? Then please consider supporting Preborn Ministries. Ultrasounds save lives. For $28, you will be providing an ultrasound that 80% of the time causes the mother to choose life. That's really doing something. May I ask, how many babies' lives could you save for $28 each? Preborn Ministries also preaches the gospel to the mommies and the daddies, and you can learn more at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched. If you like to support ministries that focus on sharing the gospel, you will love Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids get loved on and they hear the gospel, like Armic from the Republic of Georgia.
2 years ago, I was invited to a camp organized by the Tomorrow Clubs. Tomorrow Clubs helped me see Jesus was my God and Savior. If it hadn't been for the Tomorrow Clubs, I would never have learned about Jesus.
$30 per month will be sufficient for a Tomorrow Club to operate, gather the kids, and preach the gospel to them in places like Georgia and Ukraine and Romania and Russia. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? $30 a month, 30 disciples. Tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. Tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. Chances are pretty good you love Dr. John MacArthur's Master Seminary in Los Angeles, California, because they equip men to rightly divide the word of truth. But here's the replication strategy. The men from overseas come to Los Angeles, they get equipped, and then they return to their home country to start up a little mini master seminary.
All of these guys that are doing this, and there are 100 of our missionaries out there now doing this kind of training, they all come from the master seminary. And as a result of that, their theology is solid, sound. It's the same. So there's a unity to all of this. They take basically what they experienced in training at the master seminary and Grace Community Church. They train pastors the way they were trained, and they train them to handle the word of God accurately.
Amazing. Would you please consider sponsoring your own seminary? You can learn more at wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Important dates in Christian history. 1456. Johann Gutenberg produces the first printed Bible, and his press becomes a means for dissemination of new ideas and catalyzing changes in politics and theology. Without the printing press, the Reformation may have looked very different. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And the early church understood that accent in the New Testament. They were not given to anarchist activities or revolutionary activities. And Jesus had earlier rebuked the zealots that were seeking to overthrow the wicked governments by the power of the sword.
Dr. R.C. Sproul here on Wretched Radio, commenting and working through our government submission verses found in Romans 13, 1 through 7, giving us big principles which we need to go about the business of applying. It should be encouraging that Dr. R.C. Sproul in this 30-minute presentation acknowledges that the application of these things is not easy. And what we've endeavored to do here on Wretched Radio is to work through all of the perspectives and angles as thoughtfully and biblically as we possibly can. If you are hearing something where it's like, hey, is he telling us to take the jab? I would simply encourage you, go to our archives where we talk about all of these subjects in great detail and length to give a more holistic position. And so what we want to do respectfully with Dr. Sproul is not do what happens all too often these days. We hear a snippet and go, aha, that's what he's saying. Aha, no, it's not. The vaccination mandate threat was nowhere on the radar of Dr. R.C. Sproul at this time. He was only teaching the text. That's all. Now we need to apply it. And please remember that the principle that Dr. Sproul lays forth for us here is the posture of the Christian, in his words, is to bend over backwards in submission to the government. As long as...
Now, that has led some to the conviction and to the conclusion that, therefore, Christians must never disobey the civil authorities. But can we come to that conclusion biblically? Of course not. Because the Bible itself testifies when the authorities forbade Peter and John from preaching. You remember in the book of Acts, they said we must obey God rather than men. So if the civil authority commands you, if this lower level of authority commands you to do something that God has forbidden, or forbids you from doing something God has commanded, not only may you disobey, but what?
You must.
You must disobey. You must always obey God rather than men. But you're not called to disobey simply because you don't like the policies, or simply because they inconvenience you, or even may cause you to suffer. Because God has not commanded you to live a life free of suffering. But if the civil magistrate says you must do something like deny Christ, you have to disobey the civil magistrate.
Did you hear Dr. Sproul say you have to take the jab? No. What he said is that we obey unless we're commanded to sin or forbidden to do that which is commanded. Let's take that operative principle now and apply it from the posture of bending over backwards.
But again, do you see that the basic emphasis is the posture of bending over backwards? To be submissive in that spirit of humility when and wherever possible without compromising your commitment to God.
That is the posture and position and the framework from which we operate. Now, another day, we can talk about vaccines, we can talk about masks, we can talk about education, we can talk about employment laws, we can talk about how you're supposed to behave at the park, when it closes, when it opens, when you can do this, when you can do that. All of those conversations can be had. Let us not suggest here that Dr. Sproul is telling us this just, if you submit to everything, that's what he's saying. No, that's not what he's saying, and that's certainly not what I've been saying, despite some reports to the contrary. Have been trying to work through big ideas that we're confronted with at a much greater intensity than ever before. Romans 13, 1 through 7 lays out our manual for submission. Submit to the government. Boom, there it is. Why? Because you're submitting to God. Because government is a minister of God to carry out his spiritual plan. We need to sometimes adjust our thinking about government because it seems so imminent. and pressing and onerous sometimes. It's right in front of our faces. We can't escape it. And yet, we're citizens. Yeah, we are in this world, but we are citizens of a different kingdom. And Jesus' kingdom was not of this world. He was building a spiritual kingdom, and that is what he seeks for us to do also. And that means when I look at what's going on the planet, I should look at government and go, yeah, I got to deal with this stuff, got to figure it out. I'll read the article, but God is using this. I know it, because otherwise it wouldn't happen. If God didn't want this government to be in place, I promise you it would not be in place. Why? Because nothing escapes his purview. He is in control of every, even the wicked governments that are going on. And this can cause us to go, or it could cause us to go, well, we're not going to obey, and we're going to try to figure out some exceptions to this rather plain rule. But we need to remember, God's building his church. He's building a spiritual kingdom. He's populating eternity. That's what he's doing. And then when I look at government, I go, okay, all right. Dopey again. Foolish again. God has them there because he's doing bigger things. And I'm going to cooperate with him in that by submitting to him, by submitting to the government. Now, there are people who would say, hold on, we do have an out in Romans 13 where Paul appears to give the job description for the government, that they are there to reward good, punish the evil. They do not bear the sword in vain. And that would, to some people, say that means if they're not doing that, we don't have to obey them. I listened carefully to Dr. R.C. Sproul's treatment of these particular verses, and I did not hear him share that perspective. Instead,
government, whether it is socialistic, communistic, whether it's oligarchy, plutocracy, you know, whatever it is, democracy, monarchy, any kind of government that exists is force. Government is force. And it exists under God as a force to restrain evil. For what purpose? Bottom line, for the survival of the race. For the protection, the sustaining, and the maintenance of human life and property. Okay? And God gives it authority and the power to back up that authority. That's why governments not only have law, but they also have law enforcement agencies. I talked to a United States senator a few years ago, and he made this statement to me over lunch. He said, I don't believe that any government ever has the right to coerce its citizens to do anything. And I said, that's a noble sentiment, Senator. But what I've just heard you say is that no government ever has the right to govern. If the governments don't have the right of coercion, what can they do but suggest? You have law without law enforcement. And I reminded him that the power of the sword that is established in the Old Testament and reiterated here in chapter 13, where if I can read for you quickly, verse 3, for rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it, that is the government, is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword for nothing. It is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath upon one who practices evil. So what Paul is saying is that that power of the force, the power of the sword, God gives the civil magistrate. He does not give it to the church. Jesus takes the swords away from Peter and his friends in the Garden of Gethsemane. The church does not have the power of political coercion.
But the government does. That was his treatment of verses 3 and 4. Now, is it possible that in another sermon he said, and oh, by the way, this is a caveat, an exception. If you do not deem that the government is adhering to God's job description in Romans 13, 3 and 4, You have the right and duty to disobey. I am not aware that he did. Instead, he simply said that the verses are there as the enforcement. Yep, it's a job description, but it's also an enforcement why we obey. That is how he treated those verses. I would encourage you, plead with you even, as these conversations are going to continue, work through these verses. Make sure your hermeneutic is firmly in place before you do. Make sure that you have some operative principles for how to interpret a Bible verse. Remember, plain reading, typically the right reading. Don't forget the analogy of Scripture in all of this. Don't forget grammatical, historical, but please work through these verses so that you can lead your family in submitting to the government biblically. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. The gospel is present throughout all of Scripture, beginning with the book of Genesis. Immediately after the fall, God promises a Messiah who will crush the head of the serpent. Even in the Garden of Eden, God was preparing the means of our salvation through Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you don't mind me saying so, this is really interesting. This is Wretched Radio. Dr. R.C. Sproul, we miss that fellow. He worked through Romans 13, 1 through 7. You have been hearing what he taught on those verses. Specifically, we landed with verses 3 and 4, which is a description of the government's role. They bear the sword not in vain. They punish evildoers. They reward the good. The question is, why are those verses injected? Are they inserted in order to tell us if the government is not meeting the standard that you believe qualifies for this job description, you have the right and duty to disobey? Is that why it's there? Or is it there as the strong arm to encourage us, this is why you should obey? Because if you don't, they could bear the sword. God gives them the authority to do that. Now, we need to figure out which understanding we are going to adhere to. And I will say this again. If you have a different take on this than I do, you're born again, I'm born again, I can't wait to see you in heaven. Brother, sister, I can't wait. We're going to disagree on some stuff, but now seems to be the time when we do have to work through this to figure out, well, if this continues to get even more restrictive, how are we going to respond? As I've been sharing with you, I do not think that Dr. Sproul, his treatment of verses 3 and 4, includes a caveat or exception.
God himself stands behind world governments, using them for his ends and for his glory, but principally as an instrument of the restraining power of evil. No matter how evil that government is, things can conceivably be worse. If God removed all human restraints, life would be intolerable upon us. And therefore, he has instituted government and given that government the sword to which we are called to give our righteous submission whenever possible.
Yeah, there's his Acts 4 and 5 exception, but his treatment of verses 3 and 4, maybe he does this elsewhere, I'm not aware of it, but in this particular presentation, his treatment of verses 3 and 4 was simply to state this is the motivation to be obedient. Now, does he offer other motivations? Yeah, two of them. You don't want to disobey if you should be obeying because your conscience is going to trouble you. And thirdly, we are doing that. We are submitting to God. When we don't submit rightly to the government, we're sinning against God. Zoink scoob. We have all the motivation in the world to try to, as Dr. Sproul stated, assume the posture of bending over backwards, except when they command us to sin or forbid us to doing that which is commanded. And no, he's not talking about the jab here. We've treated that before. So, Dr. Sproul then concludes his presentation on Romans 13, 1 through 7, and asking the question that is, well, this is why we're discussing this.
Now, does it ever happen that the government uses the sword to exploit and oppress the innocent and protect the wicked. Yes. And those governments are, of course, corrupt and demonic and should hear the prophetic criticism of the people of God. The idea that government, therefore, is evil casts a shadow upon the God who has established it and ordained it and instituted it in the first place. I go back to St. Augustine for a very short little statement that I think captures the essence of what our attitude should be. Augustine said this, governments are a necessary evil. Not because every government is necessarily evil, but by the fact that government itself is made necessary by the fact of evil. And that even though governments may be oppressive and exploitive and corrupt, the worst government is still better than what? No government. Because the no government syndrome, which guarantees absolute freedom, also gives absolute freedom to the unrighteous people who can wield their power and corruption with no protection available to the innocent and the weak.
Dr. R.C. Sproul, so I decided during the break to go grab the Reformation Study Bible. The general editor is Dr. R.C. Sproul, and I thought, well, I'm going to look at his treatment, his commentary on Romans 13, to see if in this book, which, remember, this is just a 30-minute presentation, he might have, no doubt he has other thoughts on a lot of stuff regarding government and submission, but does he include in the study notes anything about Romans 13, 3 and 4 being an exception clause? And I've read through the notes now, and it doesn't. But this is where it now takes a little bit of a turn and gets interesting to me. I decided to read a little section that he has inserted into the study Bible that says Christians and civil government. It basically reiterates everything that we've been discussing. So that's as consistent as his presentation. But now some additional thoughts for us to consider, to be challenged, like only R.C. Sproul can challenge us. The church's sphere of authority relates to the civil government at the level of morality. Now, what does that mean? What? Are we supposed to be imposing Christian values on the government? Well, he didn't say that. This is what he says. The church has the responsibility to comment on the morality of governments and their policies on the basis of God's word. In other words, we should be prophetic with the government. Hey, to take an innocent human life is murder. You're going to give an account. You will have blood on your hands before God on the day of visitation. Repent! Should we be talking to the government? Absolutely. But should not appropriate to itself the power to set such policies. This is challenging. Whereas these assessments may foster political action among Christians, in other words, an individual Christian, you go about the business, you get engaged in politics as much or as little as you see fit. That's the position we've taken here for years. They should act in their capacity as citizens rather than as representatives of the church. Are we doing that these days? When we as Christians speak prophetically to the government, stop it. Are we acting like the church, which makes the church potentially look like a political action committee? That is what I think Dr. Sproul is addressing here. Christians should act in their capacity as citizens rather than as representatives of the church. In this way, the gospel works through moral persuasion and the working of God's grace among citizens, because we have realms of authority. Bible is clear. There's three of them: government, church, family. What are there? Do they ever intersect? And this is, of course, where it does get tricky. And I grant you that this isn't something that any of us should glibly say, I've got this totally figured out. So, for instance, you would say inside of the church, we have spiritual authority. The elders have that authority. That's the realm that we're dealing with. And the government doesn't deal with any spiritual matters. They should not be involved in the business of the church. But we do make sure that we are up to code, that our electricity isn't faulty, that our exit signs are above the doors. So wait a second. So the government's getting involved now with the church. Yeah, but not in a spiritual matter. So I think, now I might take this back in the future, I grant you that, but I think that a helpful division is to say the government has zero spiritual authority, nada, none. And they have no family authority in the spiritual realm of the household. But the government is absolutely involved in the physicality of our children. And isn't that why you put your kid in a car seat? Because you're commanded to? We do let them do that. And so I think an operative principle might be, and we'll noodle through this perhaps in the months ahead. We've got our three realms of authority. The government is limited to physical. The church, spiritual. The family, spiritual. But the government can get involved. I want to say this, caveats all over it, can get involved in our realms if it has to do with the physical. Because the church and the home, it's still within the sphere of government, but the government has no business telling you how to raise your kids, whether or not you should take the jab. That's just not their realm to be doing those things. That's the church's realm, and that's mom and dad's realm. But if they deal with physical issues, because it is not a compromise, as long as it's not commanding us to sin or keeping us from doing that which is commanded, then we let them tell us what to do physically. Might there be some confusion about that? Yep. Difficulty in applying that? Yeah, absolutely. Might that be an imperfect formula? Yeah, it might be. But perhaps it gets us down the road further. This is Wretched Radio.
We have been so busy here at Wretched. How busy? We've been a Jehovah's Witness in the doorbell aisle at Home Depot busy around here. We've moved our warehouse. We've released new resources, Wretched Worldview and Solving the God Puzzle. And we're getting set to release Season 2 of Road Trip to Truth while also filming Season 3. And we're also filming a new series about biblical counseling called Transformed. But you'll hear no complaints from us. Only gratitude. We are grateful for this opportunity to serve our Lord Jesus Christ and spread His gospel throughout the world. And we know we would not be able to do these things without the support of our gospel partners. If you're already supporting our efforts to reach millions all over the world with the gospel, we humbly thank you. If you're not a gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider becoming one? Just head over to wretched.org/donate, or you can also text the word wretched to the number 44321. And thank you for your generosity, and thank you for keeping us busy. Hey, thanks for joining us today. I want to ask you an odd question. How are your finances? Now, I'm not asking for you to give me a direct answer. I'm asking because we all need to think about how wisely we're stewarding the resources God's provided to us. Whether it be your local church or a parachurch ministry like Wretched, the Bible teaches that our giving should be done out of joy, and it should be an amount that we desire to give, not an amount that we've been guilted into giving. Why do I bring this up? Well, at Wretched, we rely on the kindness and generosity of God's people just like you to do the things that we feel led to do, which is preach the gospel, equip the saints, and strengthen the local church. Your faithful support enables us to reach millions of people all over the world. So would you prayerfully consider partnering with Wretched to reach the world with the gospel? Find out how you can become an ongoing monthly gospel partner now by visiting wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Let's play a word association game. I will give you several words and several short phrases, and you need to figure out what they all have in common. Are you ready? Go. Telehealth. A huge PPO network. $3 billion of medical bills. Double the satisfaction rate. Saving an average of $500 her month. What do all of those words and phrases have in common? The answer is MediShare, affordable biblical health sharing. Your family will likely save on average $500 per month. And according to their surveys and polls, you're going to be twice as happy with MediShare than you were with your traditional health insurance. Would you like to know what your family will be saving every month? Please call 1-844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE for MediShare.
Attributes of God. Psalm 139 tells us that God is omnipresent. If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. God is not only outside and above his creation, he is present in every place, seeing what is happening. This is a comfort for those who love him, but a terror to those who hate him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
No, I am not. And he is not. This is Wretched Radio, Romans 13, the current conundrum for Christians. How do we apply the first seven verses of that chapter, which deal with the issue of submission to government? I'm not going to talk about it anymore. Dr. R.C. Sproul is not going to talk about it anymore. But Dr. Steve Lawson is.
The whole Christian life is a life of submission. The entire Christian life is a life of subjection. So we're not surprised to see this. And I want to walk through just kind of a punch list with you just to remind you.
This is encouraging.
That the moment you came through the narrow gate and began to follow Jesus Christ, the first step into the kingdom of God was a step of submission. A step of submission to the lordship of Christ. It's not something that would start 5 years later down the road. You came under the authority of Scripture, did you not? You came under the authority of God Himself. We are to be in submission one to another. Ephesians 5, verse 21, Paul says, be subject to one another. So I am to be in submission to you, and you are to be in submission to me as we consider the interests of one another as more important than our own. Philippians 2, verse 3. Wives are to be in submission to their husbands. Children are to be in submission to their parents. Slaves are to be in submission to their masters. Employees are to be in submission to their employers. So we're not surprised when we see be in subjection to the governing authorities. Our entire Christian life is a life of submission.
Does that encourage you? It should. This is what we signed up for. We're the gentle people. We're the peaceable folks. I didn't say we're pacifists. That's a different word with a different meaning. I believe that because God puts the government into authority to bear the sword, to protect its citizens, there is nothing sinful about a Christian being in the military and going to war. I think he wants to make sure that he's dealing with a just war situation, but there is absolutely no problem with a Christian. If you're in the military and you're sometimes conflicted about this, You're serving God. You are not serving your commander. You're serving God by obeying your authorities. And so we're not pacifists, but we are the peaceable people who go about the business of submitting, because that was the entrance into the kingdom, wasn't it? It's interesting that we would think, okay, God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. So humble yourself before the mighty hand of God to get in. But then, once you're in, you can stand up, put up your dukes, and fight. That doesn't seem right, does it? The entire life of the Christian, and it's very clearly stated, not only in Romans 13, but in 1 Peter 2, that we are these submitting people.
1 Peter 2, verses 13 and 14, is the other important text that we need to hear. Nero is still on the throne when Peter writes this, and the persecution is about to bust loose. if it has not already busted loose. I mean, it's the very year that Nero begins to just become a madman and burns Rome and blames the Christians for it. And the Christians will soon become the scum of the earth. And their bodies will be used to as torches to light his gardens. So just to give you historical context. So this is what Paul says to the believers. And remember, 1 Peter begins, he's writing to those who are aliens, who are scattered abroad. Cappadocia, Bithynia, et cetera, et cetera. In other words, he's writing this to believers who are run out of town and just scattered like tumbleweeds throughout the Roman Empire. They can't even keep their houses and their jobs. So this is what he says, beginning in verse 13. He doesn't say, you know, get on a boat and go to Rome and picket the Senate. He doesn't say, lobby Caesar. That would have been laughable at that point. Submit yourselves. For the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right.
Let us not do what we don't want anybody to do to Dr. Sproul, because No, it's not all that fun to have people take a clip like that and then say, ah, Dr. Lawson said we're supposed to take the jab. No, he didn't. That is an application to the principle of the posture of bending over backwards in submission to the government. And so we'll deal with those issues separately, but let us not assume that Dr. Lawson or Dr. Sproul is drawing the conclusion that I get it. I understand the context that we're in, which is what makes this conversation kind of dicey, because there's so many issues pressing on us. We might have a tendency to just go, oh, this is just like a broad brush with no consideration about individual application. What you're hearing from Dr. Lawson, what you heard from Dr. Sproul, was a general principle based on 1 Peter 2 and Romans 13. Now, talk about being coherent and cohesive in their positions. Are there any exceptions to that?
Now, will there be exceptions to this? And the answer to that is yes, because our highest allegiance is to the one who has all authority. And there will be times when we will be forced to obey God and not men. But it requires the wisdom of Solomon to know when and why to resist the authority.
That's
just
right.
To give you a verse for that, Acts 4, 28 and 29. As Peter and John are standing before the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin say to Peter, we gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in his name, and yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. So there is a time and a place for civil disobedience.
But we need to figure out when that time is. And as he rightly stated, it takes the wisdom of Solomon, which is why all of us with so much humility should be approaching these subjects to noodle through them. I am by no means an expert on, well, frankly, anything. But I'm noodling through it. I think we all are. Let's take these general principles and then apply them, but let's do it carefully and let's do it considerately of what somebody's trying to say and what they're not trying to say.
God has a plan that he is carrying out for his people, and his people are to be in submission to the governing authorities. God does not want a revolution. God wants a reformation. God has a plan. He doesn't want anarchy in the streets. God is secretly carrying out history. History is his story. So
we submit when we're not commanded to sin or forbidden to do that which is commanded, and we're not talking about the jam, because God's doing stuff. There's another encouragement for us. Okay. God is always working. I don't turn on Fox, and that's that realm, and God isn't involved. Oh, he certainly is. God is ultimately going to set up his kingdom on this earth, and he will reign with his Christ forever and ever. God is not disengaged from CNN and cable news. No, no. He's orchestrating everything, and that's why when we are struggling sometimes to lawfully obey when, with the aforementioned exceptions, we need to remember, hey, I'm doing this because I'm working with God. Isn't that nice to know that God, our benevolent, sovereign God, is being so kind because he's working out things even when we feel a squeeze? Because remember, he's not just working on nations. He's working way more intently, if you will, on individuals. And our role in this shebang is to be a light, to be salt, to be submissive, to be humble, to be prepared for suffering the same way our Savior did, because we are mindful of the same agenda that our Savior had. His kingdom is not of this world. Put down the sword. I'm not going to partake in some sort of political revolution. I'm not going to be the one who resists the government. We're going to pay taxes, even though they're using them for rotten decisions and activities. And so it is, as we try to figure out how to apply these verses in challenging times. Let's be encouraged. We're being called to act like Christ. And until tomorrow, go serve your kingdom.